Blog Talk Radio.
How do we know this is Babylon? Psalms 137. I'm going to read it. This place was known for the slaves, slave ship boats. The children of Israel were singing songs and being whipped and beaten in this particular land. So, let me read. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion. Yeah. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. Willows are willow trees. Where do willow trees grow? Here in America, in the South. They didn't even grow in ancient Babylon. The willow tree's name in the Latin is the Babylonicus. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. So when we were whipped and beaten, we used to go under the willow trees and cry during slavery. Third verse. For there they that carried us away, captive, required of us a song. So this is talking about by the rivers of Babylon now. They required of us a song. That's where you get your Negro spirituals at. Okay? When the captives were enslaved during the time of slavery, they wasn't singing about Africa. The slaves were singing about Zion. Over the river Jordan, let my people go. These people knew that they were the children of Israel. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. That's Negro spirituals. 4. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? What strange land? By the rivers of Babylon. Yeah, they named it America. But the Most High called this land an extension of Babylon. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? It reads in the fourth verse. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. So David said, listen, he would rather not even know anything to forget the ease of Israel. He told the Most High, please never let me forget that we're Israel, that I'm from Zion. And our people don't even care. The seventh verse. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem who said, raise it, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. Edom is a pure blood Caucasian who was behind bringing us here to Babylon to serve. You will never find the word America in the Bible, but you know America is written because it's the most evil and wicked empire in all existence. So you mean to tell me the Most High wrote about Egypt, Babylon, Sodom and Gomorrah, and all the evils placed in the earth, but forgot America? America is Babylon the Great. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall utterly be burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. The Most High has put his spirit on these other countries to take her out through war. And all the other nations know it. The government know it. The bank systems, they realize it. They know prophecy. So what they're doing, they're mobilizing to move their money into the other countries over in Europe and Africa and all these other places you see Barack Obama going. He's been to Ghana twice already, knowing that this place is about to go. The ninth verse. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. So while they're teaching you prosperity, that everything is going to be alright, that you're going to be floating up into a cloud, which is nowhere in the scriptures before Christ come back. While they teach you all this madness in these philosophical schools they call churches, the Most High's prophecies are coming to pass. They're coming to pass before our eyes. You can see it. And you know it's going to happen. But Satan have what you would call a spell on the people through religion. So the Most High have awakened his elect in the last days to warn the people. Zechariah, the second chapter in your Bible, the fifth verse. For I say of the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory for the midst of her. Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord. We didn't say this, the Lord said this. For I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. So is this ancient Babylon? No. This is the modern day daughter of ancient Babylon. And we're in the north. The Most High say we must flee her before the destruction comes. If we don't flee her, we'll get the plagues that are coming. In Revelation 18, where it says she shall be utterly burned with fire. The eighth verse. Okay? There's more, but if you want to know more, you can always go to our website.
Shabbat Shalom, Barak Hassan, Wathawada, peaceful Sabbath, bless you all, and thank you for tuning in to another broadcast of Friday Night Sabbath coming out of Babylon here for the Gathering of Christ Church, where we connect the dots of our reality and current events with the Word of God and Bible prophecy. I'm your host, Brother and Elder Ramar Karab. It is May 26, 2023, 7:17 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are streaming live from the heart of Babylon, the belly of the beast, holding it down. And I pray you brothers and sisters out there are doing well and holding it down also, as very, very challenging times we're living in. And so I hope you've had a blessed week, that you've been blessed since the last time that we've broadcasted and live streamed. Good to see you all in here. I do see some first-time chatters in the live chat. I'm not sure if you are first-time listeners or not, but definitely want to say, welcome to the, to the live chat, if not at least the broadcast too. Welcome to the live chat. Welcome to the live stream here. And, of course, we have to start off by giving all praise, honor, and glory to the Most High God. His name in the Hebrew is Ahaya, also his son, who the world calls Jesus Christ. Name is Yeshaya in the Hebrew, and the Holy Spirit is Ruach in the Hebrew. All right, what the Bible calls the Godhead in the Hebrew, known as the Alahayim. All right, the Alahayim. And want to give all praise, honor, and glory for making it to another Sabbath. All right, another Sabbath, and I pray people are being safe out there this weekend. It is a holiday weekend, pagan holiday, not heavenly holiday, Memorial Day. And so, being that, beginning of summer, it's, warming up. If it's not already hot, lots of extracurricular activities going on, and recreational things that could, be very dangerous when it comes to travel on these streets, and also how people are acting out there. So I want to say that I hope everybody is being safe this weekend with all that going on. And also, it is a blessing to be here for another live stream. All right. It's always challenging to be here before you brothers and sisters. You have no idea. I know for a lot of you, you just, turn on your device and we're here when we are. We've been doing some traveling the past couple of weeks. And so, my schedule hasn't been as consistent to be able to be here. I had to actually pre-record GOCC Fit a couple weeks ago. I had to pre-record that early in the morning on Friday because I was traveling that day. And then I uploaded it and premiered it to stream that Friday night, just so you brothers and sisters would have some content, being that I didn't want it to be, you know, 3 weeks before we had a stream. And then you also have getting back into the groove and flow of things. And I had been, you know, out of pocket, out of sorts. And so then getting back in to the research and looking, you know, deeply into the things that are happening right now, as well as picking up where we left off last stream. So you can get back in, you know, I'm a rhythm person, you know, so I like to find that groove and that rhythm that I can operate in so that it flows. Right. So I've been trying to rediscover that groove and that flow. And so it was challenging, but nonetheless, we were able to, you know, the Holy Spirit comes through as always, able to put through some great information and insight. What's going on right now? What are some of the buzz things? I mean, there's so much, but something that we can, you know, have that you could take a big chunk out of that's happening right now that we should be paying attention to. So let us go ahead and talk about the title for tonight's stream. The live stream title for this evening is The Never Ending Pandemic. The Never Ending Pandemic. All right. So you all sit back, get comfortable, strap in, because definitely going to bring out a lot, and as well as go back down memory lane, right? Go back into some history here, some things too. So we'll bring some edification to the title and what all is going on there with that that backdrop and that thumbnail. So just stay tuned. But before we go into it, announcements real quick, updates, let everyone know we are streaming on Twitch tonight, live streaming on twitch.tv/GOCC Southwest. All right. That can be watched through a browser. You can simply, you know, put that in your browser, or you can download the app. Either way, you can watch it pretty much on any device that allows those, you know, accesses there, you know, Wi-Fi, cellular. There are settings there on your screen. So if you're having any latency issues where it is buffering, then always check your settings, check your device, check your connection, try different options there. But I haven't heard too many people complaining about any type of buffering or latency in a long time, as long as I can remember. So maybe Twitch has fixed some of those issues. But nonetheless, if you run into them, that's how you would go about trying to troubleshoot. Okay. We also are multicasting through Blog Talk. Okay. So if you would like to call in, you'd like to speak, something you would like to say, you have a question, 515-605-9327. 515-605-9327. Okay. Pressing the number 1 puts you in the queue. It lets me know you want to speak. Okay. If you just want to listen, you can just call in. Don't press 1. That's fine as well. All right. Our main channel is on YouTube, GOCC Southwest on YouTube. So if any time that there's an emergency broadcast, or I know a couple months ago we had to switch up things and come on a Wednesday. And so as long as you are subscribed to our YouTube channel, then you'll get all the notifications when we do a live stream. Typically, I schedule it out in advance. Therefore, you know ahead of time, you know, what we're going to do, if it's going to be that day or whatnot. So make sure, if nothing else, you are subscribed to our YouTube channel. Okay. We also have our archive channel, Odyssey. Okay, GOCC Southwest on Odyssey.com. All of these links you can find here on Twitch under the About section. You can also find them under the YouTube About section. You can find our Twitch channel there. You can find our Odyssey backup channel there. Okay, so just do a little bit of looking around. You know, I have links in the description boxes. Okay, I know sometimes people are always asking, you know, how do I get there? Well, just have to look, and you know, through the channel a little bit, and it's all over the place. Hard to miss, okay? So we have that. We also have GOCC Media. Make sure you subscribe to GOCC Media, where we do our GOCC Fit, our health and fitness. We talk about all things dealing with health and fitness. Okay. And that is it for the Friday night stream here for Coming Out of Babylon and GOCC Southwest. We also have our main church channel, okay, A Gathering 144 on YouTube, backup channel, GOCC NYC, Sabbath lessons, Wednesday broadcast, Friday Patreons, all those things. We also have the Hebrew and Bible Academy, historytimes.org. HistoryTimes.org. The new Bible Academy starts next month in June. So if you're looking to get involved, be a part of that, you want to find out more, HistoryTimes.org. We also have our main church channel, GatheringOfChrist.org, where you can find all things in regards to the church, whether it be the Hebrew calendar, Bible Academy, the GOCC network for those that want to join or help support the network. Small businesses, entrepreneurs, our resource center, where all, you know, resources that we actually pull from with this church, on and on and on and on. Places, you know, place where you can come and donate if you have tithes, offerings, or donations you would like to give, all there on our church website. All right. And I believe that wraps things up for the just introduction to tonight's stream. So let's go ahead now and transition over to going right into tonight's content, because we have a lot to cover, and I definitely want to do it in a timely fashion and make good use of our time and not be too long here. All right. So again, let's get the title for our stream tonight. The title, once again, The Never-Ending Pandemic. The Never-Ending Pandemic. And, of course, as you see here, you see Time Magazine. A lot of different magazine covers here, and we're gonna cover that. But we first want to start with the definition of the term and word pandemic, just so we can, you know, get a better understanding. And I'm pretty sure most of you know what that means, but let's go ahead and we're going to get the definition for that there. Pandemic. What do we have? Let me pull it up on my screen so you all can see it. Here we have dictionary.com for pandemic. Pandemic. It says here, of a disease prevalent throughout an entire country, continent, or the whole world. Epidemic over a large area. You also have a disease prevalent throughout an entire country, continent, or the whole world. Okay. It says, affecting persons over a wide geographical area, extensively epidemic, a pandemic disease. Okay, so we're dealing with a disease and something that spreads over a large area. Okay, and in this case, for tonight's content, we're talking about the whole world, right? Because what we're going to do tonight, talk about the never-ending pandemic, of course, probably the one of the first things that comes to a person's mind is COVID-19, okay? The pandemic that changed the whole world, a pandemic of biblical proportions. This is all the stuff we are being told, right? The whole world was shut down. So, of course, it had to have been a pandemic, right? This is what we were told. And, of course, not everybody has lived throughout long periods of history, you know, or older and can remember things that have happened maybe further in the past. So those people that are alive now, everyone can say that they were here for this time around. And this is one that goes down in the history books. It never happened before. Okay. So when we talk about what we're going to talk about tonight, of course, we're going to talk about history and all this, but we're also going to talk about just how things started in 2020 when we talk about COVID-19. We're going to talk about how it started, how it's progressed from that time up until now. We're going to talk about the Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution. COVID-19 was the problem, they told us. Then there was a reaction to the said problem. And then from there, they gave us the solution. And so we're going to look at the effects of what have happened also from this so-called pandemic, where we are now, right? The ripple effects, like with the solution and the actual problem, what are now the ripple effects happening in our reality from this situation, this event happening? Okay. Before we do that, let's start with some scripture here. I'm going to bring up the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Let you all see my screen here. Does the Bible talk about pandemics? Did Christ, the prophets, they warn us about these type of events happening? So we go to Matthew 24. It talks about the signs of the end of the age. And it says here, verse 7, actually, I'm going to read verse 3. It says, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So we drop down to verse 7. It says here, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. So when we look at this word pestilences here, we go over to our Greek Strong's dictionary, G3061. It says loimos, of uncertain affinity, a plague, literally the disease, or figuratively a pest. So when we talk about a pestilence, there's a few different things that can encompass that definition for that word there. But for this particular instance, we're talking about the disease, the plague. Let's go to Thayer, the Thayer definition here for loimos. And it says, a pestilent fellow, pest, plague. Okay. Now, one thing I want to highlight when we read about not just the pestilence, but the famine, the earthquakes, okay? You know, Christ never told us that these things would necessarily be real in the extent that we believe them to be real. He just said that they would happen. Meaning, let's talk about these man-made events, okay? In this instance, a man-made disease. Man-made meaning, well, something that could have been created in the laboratory somewhere? Or how about something that was created in a studio somewhere or a think tank somewhere behind the scenes in some meeting, some, you know, meeting of the, you know, upper echelon of our society, of people who maybe are the billionaires, okay, the who's who or the haves of our world that are in power, okay? And maybe it was something that was created, man-made creation for the imagination in a studio it was produced, a production that was then put forth out of studio. Because when we talk about COVID-19 and the pandemic of 2020, all broadcasts, all worldwide were saying the same thing about what was going on. And it got to a point to where if you had an alternative opinion or outlook on what was going on, you were censored or you were canceled. All right. So there was no option to, that there could be something else going on here. No. Mainstream made certain, and even on these, you know, social media platforms, that you were going to carry the water of the narrative that they put out there. And if you didn't do that, then you were going to be canceled. So that's a sign in itself that we can't even question the narrative, because that's what I'm going to call it. I'm going to call it the COVID-19 narrative. We could not even question the narrative. Now, when you go up to the first sign that Christ warned, the first sign he warned was to take heed in verse 4 that no man deceive you. Another thing he said in verse 6 was you shall hear of wars and rumors of war. So we're talking about potential rumor also when it comes to these particular things that we're being told are going on. Because if it's nothing that can be proven, then would you not consider it to go into the category of possibly a rumor? Right? We look at this word rumor. It says hearing, the act, the sense, or the thing heard, audience, ear, fame, which he heard, hearing, preached, report, rumor. So basically, it's just something that you heard. Right? The media is telling us stuff. It's stuff we heard. Right? Did we get any proof on anything that this was what was going on? Where were the receipts that this was happening? So it was more so we were being pumped and drilled into our minds that this is happening. And because this is happening, this is the solution. This is what must be done. And there's no other possibility of anything that could be happening and going on. Even to the sense to a lot of times the narrative was constantly changing. You know, it was a bunch of, I don't know. It was, you know, sound like more kind of guessing happening going on. They were certain about being uncertain. Right. Now, when you come down here to the Thayer definition for a rumor, one of the definitions says hearsay, report, or rumor, meaning it's just something that someone said. Doesn't make it true because they said it. So a lot of times people think because it was on TV, it has to be true. Why would the TV lie to me? Why would the people that are there, why would they lie? Well, people lie for all different kinds of reasons. All right. We read the scriptures. We see that lying is all throughout the scriptures, that we should not bear false witness, and that people lie. We see it time and time again through our scriptures. And we know that the first sign that Christ warned us about was not to be deceived in the end of the world. A lot of deception out here. So at best, we must question and ask for the proof when being told that something is happening or going on. We can't just run with it as if it's true because they said it's true. Where's the proof? Where are the receipts? See, the reason why we do the broadcast, you know, we talk about this church, you know, we bring the receipts. You know, we're not going to just sit up and just talk about what we think, how we feel. We're going to go through scriptures. We're going to pull up articles. We're going to pull up white papers, videos, documentaries, on and on and on and on. So therefore, you brothers and sisters can make up your own mind on what to believe. Now, just because it you know, in my mind, it's crystal clear on a lot of things that are happening and going on, it may not necessarily be crystal clear for you. So hopefully with the information we bring out, it gives you a better understanding so that you can have the Holy Spirit resonate, all right? Because the Holy Spirit is going to allow you to see things clearly with clarity, where there's no confusion. You're not going to be confused and say, well, the TV and, you know, this particular elected official went out and rolled their sleeve up and partook in a medical procedure. So therefore, because they did it, I now must do it. Or because my family member or my friend did it. You see, now you're being influenced by something that, well, where is the sound understanding behind the decision making here? Can you explain the sound reasoning behind what you said is going on? Versus, and then now you're giving the reaction, based upon the reaction, a now solution. Where is the reasoning behind the solution now? You see, and so they don't want us to think out the box. As a matter of fact, they told us during this time period, critical thinking was bad. Don't critical think. You must listen to government. So these type of things should have red flags and sirens and alarms going off loud. Now, in the beginning, lots of confusion, lots of emotion. The world shut down. You got to wear a mask. You got to social distance, contact tracing, all these things that can be overwhelming. And you're just trying to understand and figure out what's going on. And if you're not careful, you can get caught up in the hysteria. So hopefully for us, now that we are here 3 years going on 4 years later, can learn a lot from what happened in 2020 up until now. Hopefully we can learn and understand, because again, the title for tonight's broadcast is the never ending pandemic. What if this never ends? What if this never ends? At least in the sense of how life has changed. Because remember, they told us this is the new normal. So what if we're in a never ending loop? Right? Whether they're saying the disease is real, they're saying this is happening, a never-ending disease, pandemic worldwide, or a never-ending process of dealing with the problem and having to make adjustments in life, challenging things in life that you now must adjust and adapt to. What if it never ends? Well, we're going to deal with that tonight, but I want to start with 2020. And how things started. Just again, I want to go down the timeline as best as I can. Because again, we had 2020. What happened? This video titled here, Australia announces beginning of New World Order as harsh COVID lockdowns imposed. Who could forget the lockdowns? Who could forget being locked down in your house? Can't go outside. It's dangerous out there. There's a boogeyman called COVID-19. And if you go out there, it can get you. Right? Who is still maybe traumatized? You know, some people maybe, hey, you're living in a bad living condition. And now you have to be locked in that living condition 24/7. All right. A whole lot of stuff happened during this time because of the lockdown. You had a lot of people who were married ended up divorced during this time because now they had to actually live with one another, whereas before that, they were probably living separate lives almost. All right. So let's start here with the lockdowns. It was March, April 2020 told us that COVID-19 had now become a worldwide disease pandemic and we must lock down the whole world. Let's check out this video and we're going to start here. The first day of the lockdown, they announced that this is the first day of the new world order. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, a question. Does a disease, at the time, people weren't falling out in the streets, so it wasn't like it was something that we could say, oh my gosh, the world's coming to an end. It was more so trying to understand, well, they're saying that there's a disease and people are dying, but I'm not really seeing it happen in my neighborhood or my, you know, comings and goings. Like, what does all that have to do with now this being the first day of the new world order? Well, this is mainstream media talking to us here, right? Mainstream media. Let's hear it again. This is the first day of what? Today is the first full day of the New World Order. Meaning the New World Order has been day to day, but not full day of New World Order. So this is something that we must highlight. All right, when we're talking about this never-ending pandemic, and understanding what this really is, what it really was the beginning of, not that this is the first day of the you know, of understanding the worst plague to hit the earth, according to the narrative they gave us. No, nothing about the plague. This is the first day of the New World Order, the full day. First full day of the New World Order. Then, of course, they rolled out the World Health Organization to come out as the governing body over the whole world when it comes to disease and how to deal with pandemics. So this is who they call Dr. Tedros, the chief of the WHO. Let's hear what he had to say during this time. So Tedros told us that there will be no going back to the old normal for the foreseeable future. Well, it makes sense saying that because when you hear the term New World Order, that must mean that the old world order is finished or the old normal, meaning the way things used to be in our world is the old way, and that's over. And we're now going into a new world order, or what the WHO here is calling a new normal. Then after you had the WHO, which you see the word world, the next thing you had was the World Economic Forum hop in, WEF, with Klaus Schwab. So again, I have questions. I love asking questions, right? Again, going back to this COVID-19, this disease where no one was falling out on the streets from this disease that they said they need to lock the whole world down for. How in the beginning, would they know and say and make a statement that there's no way we're going back to the old way? To believe that is fiction. If you believe we're going back to the old way, the old normal, that is fictitious. This is what they were telling us in the beginning. How would they know this? How could they make such a statement under such circumstances when it was still no one really knew what was going on? But they knew. They didn't know what was going on, but they knew what wasn't finna no longer exist, which is the old way of life. All right. So looking back may be easier to see and understand than when it initially happened and we were going through it. Right. So if anything, hopefully we're understanding and seeing now what this really was all about. And not still believing the real fictitious, which is the real fiction, which is the COVID-19 narrative that they sold us. This had nothing to do with COVID-19, a disease, or anything. This was the first day, full day of the New World Order, and leaving off from the old way of life and coming into a new way of life. Let's keep going here. And then, of course, from the problem and the reaction then came the solution. Lockdowns was part of that solution. And, of course, they said it's going to be a vaccine to get us out of this. Again, more of them knowing how to get us out of this pandemic. Not nothing about eating healthy, change your diet. Nope, you can continue to eat McDonald's. You can continue to smoke cigarettes. The way out is starting with the vaccine, but the vaccine by itself won't be enough. But it's a start, right? So when there's only one way and it's only one idea and the narrative is constantly changing, and every time it changes, it then becomes only that one way. Now it's changed to whatever it's changed to, but now that it's changed, it's still only that one way. So they can change up how things are looked at in the scope of all of this happening. But you can't offer anything that could be in opposition to whatever it is they're saying that could potentially be what's going on. You can't even question it. Only them know, and all of their not knowing, all of their not accepting an alternative thought process until they decide an alternative thought process to change the narrative along the way. That's what I want people to be able to understand and see how this is all playing out. Let's keep going. Not only do we need a vaccine, we also need surveillance. What does surveillance have to do with a disease? We're going to need, after we get the vaccine going, we're also going to need surveillance. Okay, again, red flags and sirens should be blaring at this point. People will still need to be tested. So even after you've taken the vaccine that they told you was going to fix the problem, you still have to be tested after you take the vaccine. And you know, I'm not going to go into the testing and all that right now because that came out later. But the testing in itself was said by the maker of the test that it was never meant to be used in the way that it was being used. But that's a whole nother conversation. Isolated and cared for. So we're also going to isolate or quarantine you also. So separating people, surveilling people, injecting people, shoving testing up their nose, up into the brain barriers, a new testing that you never heard of ever before in life, that it used to be you could just spit into a cup. No, we're going to not only stick something in your nose, we're going to stick it all the way back up into your brain. This weird stuff that should make a person question, if nothing else. Doesn't mean that you disagree, but I have questions. No, a lot of people didn't even question. They just went lockstep, fell right in line with what was being told. And as you can see back here, you have the serpent twirling around the rod, right? Let's keep going. Now, before COVID-19, the COVID-19 narrative in 1992, so you're looking at almost 30 years before the narrative of COVID-19, George Bush Sr. made multiple proclamations, right, in government, presidential addresses about a new world order, saying when we're successful, and we will be. So did everyone fall asleep to them talking about they were working on a new world order? So it just goes to show you how long this has been in the works, and they needed the proper narrative in media in place to get everyone to believe in the direction they were going without being alarmed. As they start to change this world towards the new world order and usher that in and bring us under that, they needed us to be okay with all the laws they were going to pass, all the processes they were going to implement. They needed the proper boogeyman in order to do this. Now, this has been a series of steps, because if you fast forward around 10 years later from this presidential address, you had what was the biggest event of our lifetimes before COVID-19 narrative and lockdown. You had September 11th, 2001. The World Trade Centers go down, hit by terrorists, starts this war in the Middle East that's been going on ever since, 20 plus years, hasn't ended. All right. So, but they needed, again, the problem and the reaction so they could bring forth the solution. And they need the boogeyman. It's always a boogeyman at the center. And that boogeyman, it actually provokes fear in the fearful. It promotes fear in the susceptible or the gullible or those that can be easily deceived, as Christ warned. All right, so they use the fear mechanisms to then trigger a response that will then have you support and take part in the solution. But there's more. More on this new world order. Let's keep going. The world leaders are leading us into a one world communist government. Now, this looks pretty old. This looks like maybe early 2000s, late 90s. So this particular man was talking about this one world order back then. So did we somehow lose focus on this mission, this agenda that they had, that when 2020 rolled around, we just forgot that, like they never said, that this was what they were going to do, right? So just connecting some dots here. Hindsight. Terrorism. Do you feel terrorized, brothers and sisters, for what happened during the 2020 lockdowns? Did you feel terrorized when you had to put this mask on everywhere you went, to where you felt suffocated trying to breathe out of this mask, to where you can't even be close to a person, to where you look at a person like the plague, don't get close, don't touch, can't be around your loved ones anymore? Was that not terrorism? Did you not feel terrorized from that? Being the case that now it's like it's as if it never happened, right? What about all the people who were constantly hounded by their jobs? Remember your job, you got to get the vaccine or you're fired. Was that not terrorism from your job, terrorizing you day and night at your job to roll your sleeve up and don't be selfish, do this for the common good of man, do this for your neighbor, and play the guilt trip on you? Was that terrorism? Did you feel terrorized? You had to go through all that only to come to find out now that people have lawsuits for those that got fired and, you know, having to get back pay for that, all that happened to them. I mean, these are some of the things I would say looking back and this being an act of terrorism. And who were the terrorists? Who were the people that were actually promoting the narrative, telling the narrative, enforcing mandates, initiatives off of the narrative? These, what we have to identify, are the real terrorists. These are the real people who are terrorizing our lives, right? Or looking to try to terrorize. Similar to the Wizard of Oz, he was a terror. And for those who are familiar with the movie, and was terrorizing the citizens of Oz day and night behind his curtain. But let's keep going. We even had the newly elected president, after Donald Trump had launched Operation Warp Speed, come out and declare a new world order upon his election, upon him being elected. He even followed up to let everyone know what was beginning. Let's hear it again. To lead and shaping, the new world order has to be shaped. Who was the leader shaping this? Good old United States of America, whom the Bible calls Babylon. All right. So just wanted to start there, because that is a little bit of the lockdown and how this began. And while it was going on, the continued boldness of declaring a new world order. And then something else that was also being said, and I don't have the video in front of me right now, we must build back better. Okay, now that COVID-19 has happened, we're going to build back better. So letting that sink in. But then you fast forward to about 2022, the end of 2022, and you had Biden come out and declare the COVID-19 pandemic over, as experts keep wary eye on potential fall surge. This is September 19th, 2022. And there's your lovely, beautiful mask. And it's almost like people lost all common sense when it comes to what these masks actually do and don't do. Even on the box of the mask itself tells you does not stop any disease or COVID-19. That the mask, you typically see them in a hospital where a doctor or a nurse has them on, is to keep water droplets from coming out of their mouth or nose onto the patient as they're operating, because everything has to be sanitary. Or as blood and fluids and stuff are splattering that they're, the patient that they're working on, that those fluids don't splash into their mouth or nose. They typically have goggles on. Common sense. Common sense tells you that if you have this on, you're not going to be able to breathe oxygen in, which is what we need to breathe. But the carbon dioxide that you're exhaling now, you're breathing that back in, which is toxic. And now all these studies are coming out on the health ramifications, the health, all of the bad things that are being discovered now that are happening to people's health who were wearing these masks. But let's keep going here. It says President Joe Biden on Sunday night delivered the news so many have been waiting more than 2.5 years to hear. In an interview with 60 Minutes, he announced an end to the COVID-19 pandemic. Let's look at this here on 60 Minutes. You showed this before. President Biden, the pandemic is over. So he said the pandemic is over, but we still have a problem with COVID. So notice how the door is still being left open on COVID. No one is wearing masks. Everybody looks to be in good shape. So what changed, family, in September between March, April, when the lockdown happened of 2020, up until September of 2022? What changed to where now the pandemic was over? You had a mass rollout of vaccination. So somebody could say, well, the vaccines cured COVID or quelled it or extinguished it to some degree to where now it's no longer a threat because of the vaccines. Somebody might say, well, because we quarantined and we shut everything down, we social distanced, okay? And we scared COVID away, or we just endured it, and we outlived, you know, we overcame it, right? We out-endured COVID-19. But, like Biden says, it's still a problem. Even though it's pandemic's over, it's still a problem. Okay, whole lot to unpack there, but keep going here. More to discuss. Still a lot of work on it. We're still doing a lot of work. We still have a problem with COVID. Or is it that COVID has a problem with us? Maybe it's the same thing. I don't know. But that's what Biden said. We still have a problem with COVID. Still doing a lot of work on it. Right. From there, what happened next? So everybody's celebrating. The pandemic's over with. Yay. You know, everybody's happy, ecstatic. Hey, we can go back to the old normal, the way things used to be. Nope. They already told us. No going back to that. It wasn't any like, well, if we can get past COVID and get over this deadly plague and disease, then we can maybe go back. It was no option of going back. So what did people think was going to happen? That this was just going to just, just pass on by and we go back to life? A lot of people have in their mind, life is the same, gone back to the normal without knowing that they told us we would not go back. That it was fictitious to think that. That was Klaus Schwab, WEF, right? So from there, what did we have? Then in 2023, January 30th, 2023, it says Biden administration announces plan to end COVID-19 emergency declarations. Okay, that's weird. Let me try to get more here. It says the Biden administration plans to end both the national emergency and public health emergency declarations related to COVID-19 on May 11th. So looking at this, this is January 30th, 2023 of this year. There's a whole lot of stuff that comes to my mind when I read this, right? Very problematic for me because, for one, it shows that because of COVID-19 being declared a pandemic and a national emergency, you then have to examine, well, under that national emergency, what all laws come into play? What all mandates now come into play under that national emergency through federal government? You also have to think about all the public health emergency declarations that came about because of the narrative of COVID-19, right? Because a whole lot of things now have been put in place, laws, things passed for the next time, possibly, or in the future if it were to happen, how to deal with it. Now we have new things on the books. Another thing is, if in September of 2022, if it was told to us that the pandemic was over, shouldn't the national emergency and public health emergency declarations been absolved immediately at that announcement? Here it is 4 months later, and we're talking about a national emergency and public health declarations that are still ongoing, despite the pandemic being declared over. And they're planning out months away to end the emergency and the declarations. So the emergency and declarations are still in place, even though you said the pandemic is over with, and we're going to future plan out a date to end all that. And it's going to be months down the road. Does that make any sense to any of you all? Because it doesn't make sense to me that you would plan out a date to end a national emergency. To me, you would look at things and where they are and say, okay, based upon this, this, and this, we can end the emergency today, or no, we can't. It's not, well, we are going to look to end it on May 11th. Well, why not May 10th? Or why not May 12th? Why May 11th? What difference would it make one day or the other, being that the pandemic's over? And how do you plan out ending a national emergency? Because the future is unpredictable, meaning that according to them, COVID-19 could come up and pop back up with a new variant any moment. So very, very problematic with the line of how this is all unfolding. For me, at least, maybe you brothers and sisters can help me out, help me better understand, because maybe I just don't know how these things work, and maybe my common sense isn't working right. Maybe you can help me out, right? But anyways, fast forwarding through all this. So then before May 11th comes around, we get to April the 11th. And it says here, Biden ends national emergency after Congress acts. So what happened to May 11th? You planned it out back in January that you were going to end it May 11th, but yet it gets ended April the 11th. And, you know, you're dealing with some numerology here. I'm not going to get too deep into it. You got the 11th, you got the fifth month, you got the fourth month. Of course, 4 and 11 is 44 when you multiply it, right? You know, 44 is a significant number a lot of times in their, occult numerology. But nonetheless, That was my point. You plan May 11th. Well, May 10th, May 12th. Why not January 30th? Why couldn't the national emergency be ended that day when you said you were thinking about it? And you said months back the pandemic was over with. You see the confusion and all this, family? And if this was really what they said it was, does any of this make any sense on how this is all being done? Unless you understand it's being done for a purpose, right? All being done for a purpose. So then, and it's funny because this was America ending the national emergency in April. So then here recently in this month of May, you had the WHO downgrade the COVID pandemic, say it's no longer a global health emergency. Wait a minute. I thought America and all the other countries were under the WHO. So how was America able to end their national emergency, but the WHO hasn't, absolve their global health emergency? But nonetheless, we have May 5th here, 2023. Let's hear it from the horse's mouth here, Tedros, chief of WHO. So, COVID-19 global health emergency is over. However, right, just like Biden said, however, doesn't mean that COVID-19 is over as a global health threat. See, the door is still being left open. See that? The card out of that deck is still in the hand that it could be played down the road. But they're telling us this. We're jumping up and down. Everyone's happy. Yay, COVID, the emergency health event is over. Right? It's over, family. WHO chief declares in the COVID-19 as global health emergency. And of course, you know, they got to show black people at the center of all this, even though it started in Wuhan, China. They have to show us at the center. I mean, are they showing us because we came up with the formula to cure and eradicate COVID? I mean, these don't look like doctors or nurses to me. Maybe they are nurses. I don't know. But I didn't hear anything about us coming up with the solution to eradicate COVID-19. So why is it us being shown here? Optics. And when you read this article, very, very interesting, off of the UN, UnitedNations.org website. Of course, they go into how many people have died worldwide, how many cases there's been. Right, all these numbers unconfirmed, but they throw them out there because they don't have to confirm anything. They just have to tell you and people believe it. Still killing, still changing. The risk remains of new variants that cause new surges in cases and deaths. So we always have to remember the variants. The variants, they're always out there. This thing can always change at the drop of a dime. The latest variant could be what starts it all back up again. Downward trend for the past 12 months. This trend has allowed most countries to return to life as we know it before COVID-19. Even though they told us that, and him included, said there will not be no new normal. So which one is it? See, when you deal with them, you get a bunch of double-mindedness, double-speak. Right? There's no going back to the new normal, but because of the downward trend, most countries return to life as we knew it before COVID-19. Talking out of both sides of his mouth. Going into all the different issues that came about. And of course, their focus is the torrent of mis and disinformation. All those people that came out and questioned the narrative, they questioned the solution. All those bad mis and disinformationists, even though their story changed like the weather. Their stories changed like the wind. Their protocols, everything was constantly changing. One day a mask doesn't help against COVID, says Fauci. The next day it can. Then the following day after that, it can't. One day the vaccine is the cure. And then the next day, no, it's not. You need two. Oh, no, no. Now you need two more boosters. Oh, no, now you need Paxlovid. And then after you've done all that, quadruple boosted up with the Paxlovid, you're still getting sick with those people who did all that, were said to have still been getting sick with COVID. You want to talk about mockery and just mocking. And the people who did this, they didn't ask themselves one time, why are the people who are quadruple vaxxed with Paxlovid still getting sick? They didn't even ask the question. They didn't ask the question for how about all of us brothers and sisters, for those of us that are what they would call pure blood, that didn't take the vaccine. And we're here alive and well, you know, not sick, didn't get sick. We're alive and well. No one asked the question, you know, that we're fine, living fine. When they told us that we were the problem, that this was a pandemic of the unvaccinated and that we were criminals, pretty much. They needed to be hunted down, those that didn't take the vaccine, hunted down and put in front of a firing squad. We need to be banned from hospitals. No, you don't get any type of service in a hospital. You should lose your job, all this stuff, because we didn't go out and roll our sleeves up. And now those same people who didn't participate in the solution, who are fine, are the same people that are looked at as spreading the mis and disinformation, as if they're the authority of what the information is, when they're guessing and changing 24/7. But they're the experts. Of course, they roll out all the numbers and stats, fancy looking charts, no proof, just numbers. Don't tell us where these numbers came from, but nonetheless, they have them. Reflecting on the deep scars. Learn from mistakes. And you would think, well, maybe they're looking at all the things they've done wrong in all this. Shutting down the whole world. Vaccines are not medicine. No, that's not what mistakes are talking about. Mistakes are talking about is we should have locked down sooner. We should have locked down longer. We should have already had vaccines in place the minute the disease pops up, as if, according to their science, that you could come up with a cure the minute something, what they called novel, happens. Okay. None of those things. No Fauci or Tedros or none of these characters stepping up and saying and confessing to all the mistakes, all the stuff they told us that just it never panned out in the end to being what it was. So So we're out of the woods, family. Broadcast is over. COVID-19 is over. We can all go back to our normal lives. We don't have to worry about it again. Right? Wrong. Wrong. Because at the same time they're telling us that the world global health emergency of COVID-19 is over, WHO has come out, said it. Biden has came out and said it. Well, The Atlantic has told us the next stage of COVID is starting now. Now, interesting, this article came out in March of this year, about a month before Biden declared that the national emergency of COVID and the implementations mandates are over. A month before that, they tell us that the next stage is starting now. Which one is it? Is it starting or ending? Because we're getting all these two-sided stories on all this. Now, this is the confusion that they want you to be able to, you know, operate in. Because if you're in a state of confusion, you're easily controlled. Okay. Versus if you really understand what's going on here, you can't be confused. You can't be confused with the Jedi mind tricks that they play, the sorcery and the spells they're casting, and the wands they're waving to get you to believe the narrative. It says here, what happens when everyone first gets immunity to the coronavirus as a very young kid? And of course, you have here a little baby. Isn't that precious? And I want you all to focus in on this image here because this is something we're going to deal with tonight. Something we're going to deal with. It says, to be a newborn in the year 2023, and almost certainly every year that follows, means emerging into a world where the coronavirus is ubiquitous. Babies might not meet the virus in the first week or month of life, but soon enough, SARS-CoV-2 will find them. For anyone born into this world, it's not going to take a lot of time for them to become infected. Maybe a year, maybe two, says Katie Akole, a virologist and infectious disease modeler at Emory University. How about that, family? COVID-19 is a hunter. Okay, there's nowhere you can run. There's nowhere you can hide. It's going to find you. So when you come into this world as a baby, it's looking for you. Right? And because you've never encountered it before, you're in trouble as a baby. It's what this article is getting. So now we have a whole new problem on our hands. The next stage of COVID for all those who are newborn and will be dealing with it for the first time in their lives. What would that mean for the rest of us when these newborns catch the hunter? Boogeyman, COVID-19. It says here, beyond a shadow of a doubt, this virus will be one of the very first serious pathogens that today's infants and all future infants meet. Right? And so there's more there. Of course, you have to subscribe to get the rest of this. But nonetheless, there is a sinister agenda at work here. And we're going to go into that. So they told us it was over. All the while they're telling us the next stage is just starting. pandemic's over, but yet we still have a problem with COVID. The COVID health threat is not over. At the same time, they're telling us this, all this confusion, that it's over, that it's not over, that it's still here, that all this doublespeak. The same time with COVID, they're also telling us on the Daily Mail, prepare for a disease even deadlier than COVID, who WHO chief warns. So let's hear from the chief. So not only do we have to deal with the open door threat of teen and whatever it can morph into, we also have to be ready for the next pandemic, which will be even deadlier than COVID. And it's coming. Again, just like how they knew or they said there's no going back to the new, to the old normal, zero chance. They're telling you that it's 100% chance that a new pandemic is coming, and it's going to be deadlier than COVID. Let's hear it from their mouths. And we're going to go into this white paper that WHO released to go into it a little bit. From emergency response to long-term COVID-19 disease management. I'm going to go into that. So not only do we have to worry about the new variant that COVID-19 could produce, but we also have to worry about a new pathogen, even more deadlier than COVID-19. I mean, it doesn't have to work too hard to be more deadlier than COVID, being that COVID-19 was 99.9% survivable, according to the numbers. Okay, it don't have to be much more. You don't have to do too much more to be more deadly, right? So, there's more. We cannot kick this can down the road. Basically, we need to do something about this because it's coming, and we know it's coming because, again, they can see the future. They got such future reading skills, but once the future gets here, they backtrack and flop all over the place on how to deal with it. But they know, but one thing for certain, they're cold at predicting the future, though. May not be cold with dealing with it when it comes. You would think that they would have everything in place to deal with it when it comes and not be able to change one inch on how to deal with it. All right. They are master fortune tellers, master predictors and prophesiers. We cannot kick this can down the road. We must do something about this before it happens. Basically is what he's saying. When the next pandemic comes, and it will. Now, it cut off there. I need to go to another video that actually allows you to hear what was said. When the next pandemic comes, and it will, my question is, how do you know that? How do you know that it will? We must be ready to act decisively and collectively. All right. What does that mean? They're telling you it's coming. So there's no doubt about it in their eyes. And they're also emphatic about the fact that when it does happen, they're going to be very decisive. And when he says collectively, they're going to be very decisive on what they do in response. And when they say collectively, they don't mean collectively you get an opportunity to give your input on how to deal with it. No, you don't have a say on what you feel maybe is some of the ways how to deal with it. No. You, collectively meaning you must be in lockstep with the decisiveness. When they make the mandates, the laws, the emergency declarations, you must operate collectively as one, lockstep with everyone else. There's no room for anyone to do anything different than what we have the whole herd doing. There are no outcasts in this herd. There are no stragglers in the herd. You must be part of the herd. So there it is. So just so that you understand, you're hearing it straight from them. And, you know, we've, you know, just to kind of deal with some of the broadcasts that we've discussed. Of course, our last broadcast we did was the deliberate toxic sabotage of our environment, which a lot of the things we're going to discuss tonight is segueing or connecting to this last broadcast we did. But we had other broadcasts in the past that tie in to what we're talking about tonight. We had How About We Did the Broadcast, The Next Plandemic. How many of you remember this broadcast? It is on Odyssey for those who haven't seen it. So a lot of the things we're going into tonight, we've already talked about, because this isn't the first rodeo of them saying this. Not the first rodeo. But they're continuing to say it so that it stays on your mind and those seeds continue to stay sown. So that when it's the right season for them to sprout, they'll sprout and produce fruit. That's what they're hoping. But when you're built on a rock, you can't sow those seeds on a rock. Seeds don't sprout on a rock. So when you're built on Christ, you're not falling for the deception. All right? We also had the unraveling the mystery of the alarming increase of sudden arrhythmic death syndrome, or SADS. All right. Talk about some of that tonight. We also had the monkey business of the monkey apocalypse, if y'all remember. You know, it was last year. We're going to go into that here in a moment, that one of the things that was supposed to be the thing people were losing their minds about last year was monkeypox. Quick as it popped up, or poxed up, is as quick as it went away. Similar to COVID-19, right? Monkey business, right? And then we had COVID 2.0, the final lockdown. So they told you they're not finished with COVID. They said we still have a problem with COVID. So what happens when the next 2.0 version of what happened, and they're telling us we cannot kick the can down the road. Will there be a final lockdown? That they'll say we're learning from the mistakes. We never should have opened the world back up. We should have kept things locked down. Right. And we also had the From UN Agenda 21 to Agenda 2030. Dealing, and the Redux, dealing with the Agenda 2030 initiatives. The Earth's Wildlands Project, because we were dealing with this map and we talk about the wildlands, we're talking about the wilderness. That's what a wild land is. It is a wilderness. So we understand all of what they're doing is, this is the UN and U.S. Man and Biosphere Program. This is the UN's initiative and agenda. There was a 1992, right around the time George Bush was declaring a new world order, to show you that they've been planning this even before then. But at that point, they really laid down the framework for what we're going through now. All right. Why do you think they told you you couldn't go outside? They're getting used to you being locked in your home. Don't go outside. It's dangerous. There's the boogeyman out there. You can get sick. You're not going to be allowed into the wildlands. Only in the cities will you be allowed, because they're trying to stop prophecy. They're trying to stop us from fleeing into the wilderness. So these are just some of the things they're using as the reason or the excuse that only they'll say certain parts of the world and country are inhabitable. You also had Illuminati card games, Center for Disease Control. You have a epidemic Illuminati card, and you see your syringe, quarantine. You have your mask, your hand sanitizer, all these things we were being sold on during 2020 and after, your Paxlovid prescription pharmaceutical, all the body bags they were showing us of all the dead bodies, right? Yeah, this card game was actually released in the 90s. It had been worked on since the 70s, but it was actually released in the 90s. The predictive programming is off the chain. Right? And what else did we have here? So just some of the, you know, past broadcasts that fit perfectly in to our discussion tonight. And we're just getting started. So stay strapped in, because they're telling us that even a more deadly pandemic is coming than COVID. And again, it doesn't take much to outbeat 99.9% survivable, right? Even the flu is more dangerous than COVID-19, according to the numbers, the people that died in 2020, as opposed to 2019. When the flu disappeared, remember I showed you all the graph of 2020, and it showed all the flu numbers from the previous years. And the flu all but disappeared in 2020. There was no flu. It disappeared. But COVID showed up. And then now, COVID's practically disappeared. And the flu is back. I guess they just took turns playing musical chairs. Right? So we listen to this character talk. The WHO's biggest pandemic threats, we have COVID-19. It's at the top of the list. Crimean Congo hemorrhagic fever. So it's interesting that one of them is named after Ukraine, with that whole psyop that's going on. Crimea is part of Ukraine, but it's the Crimean Congo. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, well, Crimea is way up by Russia. And Congo's clear down in Africa. So they took Crimea, Congo, hemorrhagic fever. All right, whatever. Ebola virus disease and Marburg virus disease. We're going to talk about more of these in a second. Lassa fever, Middle East respiratory syndrome coronavirus, MERS, Nipah, henna-pavirol diseases, Rift Valley fever, Zika, and as yet unknown disease. So mysterious disease X that they could just, they're saying is a wild card that we don't know yet that could just pop up. And then we've got a new disease of some sort that we have to find a name for. Right? And then it goes into the history of pandemics here. And it's showing through the years, the pandemics from, you know, 17th century plagues, 18th century plagues, smallpox, yellow fever, the Black Death, Japanese smallpox epidemic, all these pandemics, the Spanish flu, HIV. Y'all remember HIV in the 80s and in the 90s when they said that that was going to kill everybody? Who Fauci led up the campaign on that one also. And then it shows you how many people died of each plague that happened throughout time. So you, here you have, and again, this is their narrative. 200 million people died of the Black Death in the 1300s. Okay. And when you come down and you're trying to find COVID-19, it is third to last on the list out of 20 so-called plagues. But yet, this is what the whole world was shut down over. You have all these flus, different flus that are ahead of COVID. But yet, this is what they shut the world down for. This little bitty thing down here. And they have said that the bubonic plague killed 200 million in the 1300s. So I hope this is really making sense to people now that maybe didn't have sense on all of this and what was going on. That they're... monkey business going on is an understatement. Being bamboozled in all this is an understatement. This was the beginning of the first day of the New World Order. A race to 2030. And remember, what did the gates of hell tell us, husband and wife? They talked about the inevitable next pandemic and can't hold back with a smirk. So it's not just the WHO or Biden that told us this. You have other people, a guy who's a computer guy, he dropped out of college, telling us about diseases and pandemics as if he's an expert. As if now, okay, you're totally showing your hand. Totally showing your hand now that you have this unqualified, not that the other guys that call themselves doctors are really doctors, but this guy is nowhere near even being able to spell doctor. Let's hear again from their mouths. Also within this, they're telling us that when it comes to pandemics, you have to do it tiered and make sure your most vulnerable population gets it first. In our country, United States of America, that would be blacks. We have to get it first because we're the most vulnerable. even though it started in Asia. Not that the Asian Americans should get it first, because if it started with them, you would think they're the most vulnerable because they're the originators of it. They caught it. They spread it. It didn't start and spread in the hood. So why are we the most vulnerable in the U.S. and need the vaccine first? Again, questions I ask. Blacks and Native Americans, just the people who you totally destroyed during the 1600s and on. Native Americans who were living in this land in peace and came over and had their land stolen and their heritage raped, pillaged. They're most vulnerable. And then the slaves we brought over that we killed by the hundreds of millions and have oppressed since bringing them over, they're also the most vulnerable. Well, that sounds like to me like you're trying to finish a job that you started. Because at the same time when you came over here to deal with the Native Americans, you also had smallpox blankets. What was that all about? So you raped and pillaged them. You gave them smallpox blankets. And now you want to give them first in line vaccines because they're most vulnerable. You put blacks in chains, drug them on slave ships. Those that survived were thrown in the cotton fields and on the plantation yards. All right. You made laws in place to where pretty much blacks are going to be the ones that are going to pack the prisons. And for the remaining of you descendants of all of our terrorism, you're first in line of most vulnerable to get these shots. They're not even hiding it. They're evil. And they're going to top it off with a cherry on top with the smile at the end. Let's keep going. Smile. Smile for the camera. We have to prepare for the next one. That will get their attention. Say cheese and smile for the camera. Everyone and their mother is talking about the next pandemic as far as the people that are in places of influence. And when we talk about figureheads, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the WHO, the United States government, the Dr. Fauci's of the world, all talking about the next one. Well, we've talked about the next one when we did the next plandemic. And this one we talked about. Avian. Bird flu. It says here, avian flu detected in two individuals taking part in testing program. UKHSA has detected influenza A virus in two poultry workers following the introduction of an asymptomatic testing program for people who have been in contact with infected birds. Oh, yes, we cannot forget the asymptomatic. Remember when you were said to be sick with COVID, but you weren't really sick because you were asymptomatic? You were just carrying the COVID, but you didn't have any symptoms. That was something new we learned. Like, okay, I can actually be sick, but not be sick. Oh, I'm just a carrier. I'm carrying this plague that locked the whole world down, but yet I have no symptoms of it. Again, the psychological warfare and the Jedi mind tricks at play for the simple, right? For the simpletons. So now in the UK, they're running circulations May 16, 2023 of bird flu. We're going to talk now a little bit on this bird flu, but I want to show some, actually, before we go into the bird flu, jump the gun a little bit because we were talking about the gates of hell. When I say gates, I'm saying plural because I'm saying Bill and Melinda. Okay, the gates of hell has been talking about this next pandemic for a long time now. So we have a video here. Bill Gates warns of next pandemic after COVID and how to stop it. So here it is. This was 2021. And you could say the national emergency hadn't been uplifted yet. Biden hadn't declared COVID was over yet. People were still being mandated to get vaccines. And he was already talking about the next one after COVID. COVID hadn't even finished yet. And he's already talking about the next one. Chomping at the bit. Salivating. Can't wait for this next one. Even to the point to where, again, catastrophic contagion was a simulation ran beginning this year, end of last year, for the next pandemic, which is said, in according to the simulation, is supposed to start in 2025, ran by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So let's hear from one of the gates of hell on this next pandemic. We're going to listen to a little bit of this after COVID and how to, of course, he knows how to stop it. He's not a doctor, but he's the guy we're going to bring on MSNBC to tell us how to stop something that he's not medically qualified to even be in the room to talk about. But he's got a lot of money, so obviously he must know something, right? Check it out. April of 2015, the gates of hell predicted, again, they always master predictors. At the same time in this TED Talk, not only did he predict that a future pandemic was coming, but also he talked about population reduction, depopulating the world. If we do a good enough job with vaccines, we can bring that number down. So we're going to ask somebody to help save lives for a pandemic when this person is talking about reducing population. Again, family, does any of this make any sense? The person who's looking to depopulate, we're going to go to him and trust that he wants to save lives with his solution. America failed handling this pandemic. Okay. So because America failed, we must now put in the proper implementations so that it doesn't fail in the future. If it had did like Australia or South Korea, which are police states, and put everybody in concentration camps, which is what they did, then America would have got an A+ or an A. Okay, but again, you're talking to a man who's saying, we're talking to this man who has openly said in his TED Talk about depopulation. We're going to him to ask him how to save lives, what he, like, as if he cares and that's what he would want to do. All right, this is insane. That's what we did do well. We hurried up and got those vaccines ready by putting the money up front to pay for those vaccines to get them rolling. So America gets an A-plus on the vaccine rollout. They didn't hesitate. This time, I think people will pay. It's always, you see how it's this time, this next time, and smiling. People are going to pay attention now. And notice how, because of COVID-19 and the mRNA rollout, emergency, you know, FDA emergency authorized rollout, because under a national emergency, now the FDA can override something that takes 10 years to be able to have data on to make, you know, available to be utilized. Now they can bypass that because we're under a national emergency. But because of that, you know, emergency authorized mRNA technology, first time ever in people. And now that people have, now that they've had that in place, now every disease can be mRNA vaccinated. We're going to change vaccines for all diseases now. So no more of those old vaccines for all those other diseases. We're going to now replace them all with mRNA technology inoculations. Right? And he's upset that lives weren't saved when he gave a TED Talk looking at hopes of depopulating the world. Which one is it, Bill? See, when you're dealing with a liar, the story is constantly changing. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It can't be both. You're a liar. That's what that means. So now again comes the black problem. Pandemics exploit racial inequality. So now the disease is racist. Dang, we just can't catch a break as black people, right? When the pandemic happens, it comes for us first. It has a vendetta. These diseases and pandemics have a vendetta against black people, and now the gates of hell is working with black colleges to combat these racist disease and this racist inequality when it comes to pandemics. In other words, we need to put new infrastructure into these inner city schools for programming purposes, to program these Negroes, make sure they're fully programmed through the internet, by the beast, and so that they can be monitored and surveilled with this technology in the schools. So we can keep tabs on them and make sure that they're doing exactly everything we need them to do, fully participate in the beast system. Contact tracing for a disease that's 99.9% survivable. See, when you understand these little details, family, it goes a long way to know that this has nothing to do with what they're talking about. The reason why the Fox News lady asked, what does all this surveillance have to do with the disease? Why does you knowing all my data, getting access to all this, have to do with the disease? So here comes the damage control, the misinformation, right? The cancel culture. It's not fair to Bill Gates that people are actually asking questions about what he's got going on and why do we have to do this and why is he even in the medical conversation to begin with? Well, those are just people who are spreading misinformation, right? So we need to censor those people. They don't need a platform to speak. And there it goes, the magical bingo word. Both him and Dr. Fauci have featured in conspiracy theories, right? It can't just be alternative viewpoints or questions. It has to be conspiracy theories. Right. So we've heard this over and over and over. Now, going to listen to another one, 5 minutes here on this one, and then we're going to move forward. And I want you all to make sure you stay tuned, because as we continue and get toward the end, it's going to heat up with the information we're bringing out. So we're just laying a groundwork, going back into the past, seeing all what was going on, where we are now. And can we learn from history, or are we doomed to repeat history? And this goes out to a lot of people that made a lot of mistakes during this time, primarily going out, rolling up their sleeve, that may happen upon this video, so that they don't fall into the deception, going forward in the future, right? Or as they call it, the next time around. So this one says here, how Bill Gates' $1 billion a year plan, to prevent the next pandemic. So he has a plan. And he even wrote a book, and we talked about this book before, How to Prevent the Next Pandemic. He wrote a book, a computer guy, who went from fighting viruses on computers to fighting viruses in mankind. So notice how we have all the problems that come with COVID-19, and then we move into the next thing, which is the war with Russia and Ukraine, and how we're going to be dealing with energy crisis, high energy prices, food supply issues. And he's saying we're going to be dealing with this for some time to come now. But notice how COVID-19, the pandemic, the lockdown, the narrative, started the supply chain problems, right? And then you compound it with the next event, right back to back, that now is going to also deal with supply issues, being that Russia and Ukraine supply a large amount of the world with their exports. So this all goes hand in hand, all of this. Even though we're mainly dealing with the disease part of this in this broadcast, this all ties together. Welcome to the first full day of the New World Order. This is what it looks like, family. We're living in it. See that? It comes on top of the pandemic and all the things that was already going on with that. And before that, notice how when he's talking about these very problematic things in our reality, he always has a big smile on his face and he's laughing. Right? It's all funny that this is happening. It's like he's trying his best not to burst out laughing, kind of like when, you have something in your mouth and you burst it and spit it out. It's like he's trying to hold that back and keep a straight face, but he's not doing a good job. And you hear the media continues to drive these points home, that we have to remember that COVID-19 is not over. Thank you for your book, because you're reminding us that it's not over and that we have to prepare for the next one. They always continue from place to place pumping these points home to everybody, drilling it in, trying to drill it into our heads. So let's check out the Bill Gates plan. What does he propose for the future when these events happen? Let's check out his plan. You would like to have a group connected with who? World Health Organization, who he has invested more money into this organization than the United States itself. So the group connected with them We're gonna shove the Egyptian stick deep up in your brain. You can take your mask down only for this test, and you got to put your mask back up. Okay, COVID will give you a break while I test you. Are you noticing anything here, family? This particular CNN panelist, I'm just going to call him that, talked about this starting in East Asia somewhere. How do you, you know, this next pandemic is probably going to start out of East Asia somewhere because that's how these things do. But you notice all the persuasion of the people that they're showing while he's talking about this? Are you noticing this? Is there a common theme here? Is if black people have become the majority race in the earth, when we're called minority, right? You don't see no Asians nowhere. Oh, that's Asian hate. Remember they passed the Asian hate bill. You can't talk about Asians in Wuhan, or that's Asian hate. All we see is black people here. Oh, it might be an Asian right here, but it looked like she might be working to make sure that they're doing their job. She's the boss. Right? Nothing but black people. In this future plan. So now Bill Gates wants to stop the number of people that died to where it's only a few percent, even though he, in his TED Talk, said he wants to rid the world to start with 15% of the population. But now he's looking to save lives by limiting it to only a few percent deaths. So now check out his plan. How to prevent the next pandemic. He wants to roll out a group called GERM, Global Epidemic Response and Mobilization Team. Sounds like a hit team to me. Managed by the WHO. They're going to be rolled out pandemic. A hit squad. So just wanted to share that part. And before we move on now to the next things are saying, we need to watch out for. I wanted to bring up this WHO document. It says here, from emergency response to long-term COVID-19 disease management. Notice how it started out as an emergency, and now they're shifting it into the realm of long-term COVID, or There's a term out there they're calling long COVID. We're going to deal with that long COVID here later. Disease management. We have to manage COVID. We can't, you know, it's here to stay. We have to live with it, but we must manage it while we live with it. sustaining gains made during the COVID-19 pandemic. And again, we have on the front cover, I mean, I haven't seen so many black faces on the front cover of papers and news stories, you know, unless it's sports or music, we're typically never gracing the front cover of anything. But now with disease, we're the front cover of everything. All you see is black images, right? 2023, this document came out. And of course, here you go. Here goes Tedros. As the COVID-19 pandemic enters its fourth year, even though they declared the pandemic was over, but that's, you know, the continued hypocrisy, we have every reason for hope. At the time of writing, the number of weekly reported deaths is at its lowest since the pandemic began. And in most countries, life has returned to normal. Even though he told us we were never going back, it was fictitious to think we were going back to normal. And notice how normal is in quotations. Millions continue to be infected or reinfected with SARS-CoV-2. Thousands are still dying each week, and many questions remain about the potential emergence of new variants that could cause fresh surges, right? Any moment, a fresh surge of COVID-19 could happen. Okay, there's a lot here to be read, but you could probably do a broadcast in itself on this. But you have the map of the places most infected. COVID deaths. The darker the area, the more deaths. And you see U.S. It's funny how you have the U.S. is most deaths. Then Canada is less deaths. But then you come to Alaska and it's what's the change between you cross the border of Canada and Alaska and it goes dark. It goes more deaths when you get past the Alaska state line. And then you have South America's dark and Russia. Now check out Asia where they said it started. Now it started in Asia, but no one really died from it like they did in America, South America, and Russia. Isn't that interesting? So it's an Asian disease, according to their narrative, but yet they're the ones that survived the best out of most places, other than the heart of Africa, which is the lightest here, right? Africa is the only place that's dark is South Africa, and that's the more white populated area. So they're saying it's a black disease, but the country that has the most black people is the lightest, and the countries that have the most whites are the darkest. Right. See, so you see how when you just understand the narrative, you can just poke holes in it all day long. Because when you tell a lie, you have to continue to keep telling a lie. And chances are you're going to make mistakes continuing to lie. You're going to mess up somewhere. And you get caught red-handed. No pun intended. All right. You get caught red-handed. It says here, the World Health Organization recognizes the challenges countries are face maintaining and sustaining the COVID-19 response while addressing competing public health challenges, conflicts, climate change, economic, and other crises. To prevent further setbacks, WHO continues to support countries in calibrating COVID-19 strategies to reflect achievements and leverage learnings from national responses so that COVID-19 management is sustainable and integrated into strengthened national activities. So what they did was they came up with some pillars. And they have, of course, the drivers of transmission and the drivers of impact, right? But they have their pillars here. 10 pillars to the 5 components of health emergency preparedness, response, and resilience. So the one I want to focus in on here, because you have emergency coordination, community protection, safe and scalable care, access to countermeasures, and you have collaborative surveillance. Collaborative surveillance. And when you come over here and you read, it talks about under collaborative surveillance, pillar 3, surveillance, epidemiological investigation, contact tracing, and adjustment of public health and social measures. Also laboratories and diagnostics. So again, with these particular instances to where if COVID never goes away and there's always the risk of the next pandemic, that allows them to put in this continuous surveillance now to where we must have mankind under surveillance 24/7. Does that sound like something needed for fighting a disease, or does that sound like something in place to what they stated, this is the first full day of the New World Order? All right, and then it goes in to the surveillance. It says here, the WHO continues to strongly encourage countries to develop stronger data collection and reporting systems to report more meaningful impact data. So because of this now, they have the excuse to now put infrastructure in, the technology in, to gather more data from you. And you can't question it because this is all for the purpose of fighting disease. And most people won't question it. But now this gives them an opportunity to collect more data on you. All right. And there's more in this. For those that want to read it, you can download it. From emergency response to long-term COVID-19 disease management. Basically, we're in this for the long haul. COVID isn't going anywhere. We can only manage it. We can only manage it. And then from there, we talked about it. We went into it. Bird flu. Bird flu is one of the next ones that they're saying we have to watch out for. So a couple quick clips here from UK news. Now that they're saying that poultry workers in the UK now have come down with bird flu. After working on an infected farm. And these people's identity are unknown. So we don't even know who these people are, if they even exist. But they still run a story on it. Because they don't have to exist. They just have to tell you that this is what's going on. And people will believe it. Their identity is unknown. So now animals catch the flu too. Animal can pass the flu on to you. What do we do about that? Well, we must destroy the animals because animals are producing carbon anyway. And according to them, climate changed all the carbon. So you see how this starts to work hand in hand? Depopulation of not only people, depopulation of animals, which is our food. Matthew 24:7, Christ told us famines and pestilence in the same verse. So they can kill two birds with one stone, no pun intended. And then you have the next video here, or the next news piece. And it is, fears bird flu could become the next pandemic. This was 3 weeks ago. Here we go. What's going to be the next one? Not saying this is the one they're going to use. We're going to talk about it in a moment. But they're saying it could be. This could be the next story, the next narrative, the birds. Get rid of those chickens. So how convenient that coming off of the 2020 COVID-19 experience, we've seen these bird flu outbreaks since the 90s, but we've never seen one this bad. So all of a sudden, on the heels of COVID-19, in 30 years, we have the worst bird flu outbreak that's ever been had. Convenient. Let's keep going. So here's my thing. Let's say chickens are dying. Do you think this is a healthy living environment and situations for chickens to be living in, what we're seeing on this screen right now? So if chickens are dying, let's first start with their living conditions. Put them out in the wild and let's see if they die on a mass scale. But you got them all cooped up, again, no pun intended, like this, all on top of each other. Anyone is going to die in these conditions. Okay, the fecal matter alone will do it. Not healthy. This should be free range living outside. So the virus jumped into mammals. It jumped from chickens into mammals. It just jumped, right? And notice it's the guy working for Moderna, one of the major vaccine manufacturers, telling you this bird flu pandemic. And I bet you he has a vaccine to give to you to combat this bird flu also. What do you bet? Or if he doesn't, he'll tell you, well, we're working on one. See, it always comes at the end of a needle. The solution to the problem and the reaction. So human bird to human transmission is far off, but at any day now, that could change. And the bird flu could then be transmitted to people. All right. So again, they told us that the next one could be more deadly than COVID. And then now they're pushing once again, avian flu. What else do we have here? Something I told you, brothers and sisters, to highlight from earlier. They told us the next stage of COVID is starting now, and who we wanted to focus in on here. Well, children's hospitals prepare for the next pandemic. Why are children now becoming a huge focus in all this? I think we should be able to put two and two together here. But children's hospitals are preparing for the next pandemic, are already getting prepared so that the children get the proper care they need. Right, we're going to come back to this. We're just, again, showing this next pandemic talk continues. I have the Time magazine collage here for the thumbnail for this broadcast. And Time came out with this collage for their Time 2030. Well, that sounds like Agenda 2030. It says the next decade will likely determine whether the planet will remain fit for human habitation. Really? Time 2030, a decade-long project, will be marking our progress towards a sustainable and equitable world. Let's check this out. This was February 24th, 2021, during the middle of this pandemic. You had Time 2030. They did a video on this to explain and break this down. Let's check this video out here. It's a lot of crises. We talked about it. We're going to talk about it here in a moment. All those crises. Sound familiar? Sounding like a page right out of UN Agenda 2030, the Great Reset, Time 2030. So what is Time 2030 talking about? And they talked about a lot of crises. Previous broadcast, 2023, the year of the perma-crisis, where the crises, the polycrises, become permanent. Similar to COVID-19, becoming now long-term and permanent. Where, yeah, the pandemic is over, but then it remains. So you have the website here for this. Why we're launching Time 2030, a decade-long project on navigating the post-COVID world. It says here, recently I zoomed into a Washington-based virtual leadership program that opened on a series of Time covers from the past two decades. The covers focus on the risk of pandemics from SARS in 2003 to a 2017 story warning about a virus that hops a plane out of China and onto foreign soil where it could spread through the air like wildfire. We all knew what was coming. Why, the moderator asked, were we so unprepared? The turning of the page to this new year has only underscored the durability of the world's multiple crises. 2020, the dark joke goes, refuses to concede. The challenges, a health crisis, a trust crisis, an inequality crisis, a climate crisis, an economic crisis, a democracy crisis are disparate. And yet one thing unites them. They were entirely foreseeable, from the pandemic to last summer's apocalyptic wildfires to the January 6th insurrection on Capitol Hill. It should have required no imagination to foresee an uprising that was planned, promised, and promoted in plain sight. My predecessor, Nancy Gibbs, now director of Harvard's Sorenstein Center, writes in this issue, why do we ignore crises that we can clearly see coming? And how do we embrace this moment to change that? As the world resets for a post-COVID future, we have a collective choice. We can mistake this inflection point for just another news cycle, or we can roll up our sleeves. Or we can roll up our sleeves. All right. So what everyone within this realm of influence, Time Magazine, National Geographic, the WEF, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, John Hopkins University. What are they telling us? Not only that we're in multiple crises that are becoming permanent, but also within that, we are in a never-ending pandemic, a pandemic that never ends. And when we talk about a pandemic that never ends, we're not only talking about COVID-19 and the fact that they're saying, well, we still have a problem with COVID even though the pandemic is over. But at any moment, a variant can come back and it could surge and become worse than before. But whatever the latest boogeyman disease they want to roll out, whether it's monkeypox, bird flu, Ebola, Zika, let me pull it up and show you. Because they've been doing this for a long time. And what you see here on your screen is in 2003, it was SARS that they told would kill us. Oh, my God. 2005, see, bird flu isn't the first go-around. And even before 2005, it wasn't the first go-around. Bird flu, oh, my God, it's going to kill us all. Right? 2014, it was Ebola. It's going to kill us all. Oh, my God. 2016, it was Zika, the big-headed babies. Remember that? Has anybody heard anything about Zika anytime in recent years? But they were running it in the news like 24/7 for a time. It was going to kill us all. It was babies being born with big heads. 2016, right? 2019, it was the measles outbreak. Remember when they were talking about all the kids in New York had to get their measles shots? Oh my God, it's going to kill us all. Then in 2020 came around coronavirus. It's going to kill us all. Oh, my God. Go back to the 80s. It was AIDS. It's going to kill us all. On and on and on and on. Same fear campaign, different year. Stop buying the bull. You would think they would cry to wolf long enough by now that we would stop listening to them. But because we have short-term memories, we forget. We forget the past and then we repeat it. Right? When there's a saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. How many times are we going to continue to keep getting fooled? So then we become stuck in this infinite loop, this matrix, this paradigm of a never-ending pandemic. And all they need to do is get you caught up in the trigger, the emotional triggering of fear, and they got you. They got you. So we have this article here, the never-ending pandemic, and we're going to start to press forward. And, you know, it's 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're going to look to complete this broadcast within the hour. So the information we have, we're going to going to be a information-packed last hour with the stuff we have to talk about here. But it says here, April 2022, wishful thinking has left many in Europe unaware that we are now stuck on a low road of significant, burdensome infection. So if they say it enough times, like a saying says, repeat a lie enough, people will then accept it as the truth. So this is the inundation of them telling us this stuff over and over and over through repetition. It says here, the pandemic is not ending. And it may not end in our lifetimes. There are already improved treatments for COVID-19. And associated mortality will probably be lower in the future. As our immunity wanes, however, most of us are likely to carry on catching this illness again and again. Others may well feel obliged to shelter, especially those who are most vulnerable, and even among those repeatedly receiving booster vaccinations. Remember shelter in place? This is the reality we now have to face worldwide and across Europe. Okay, this is the narrative they're selling us. We know this because of random surveys of the prevalence, current burden, and incidence, new cases of infection. All right, and then it goes on and on and on. But for the most part, in a nutshell, telling us we are in a never-ending loop of a pandemic, never-ending, which then becomes what? It becomes then endemic. Endemic. What is the definition for endemic? And then we're going to start to move into, now that 2020 has happened and they've gotten a lot of the world to buy into what they said happened, we're going to get into the ripple effects now. What is the effect now on society, on people now, from then buying into the solution? But it has now become endemic. And when you look here, it says, natural to a characteristic of a specific people or place. Two, belonging exclusively or confined to a particular place. Number three, of a disease. Persisting in a population or region, generally having settled to a relatively constant rate of occurrence, meaning it becomes normal. The disease becomes part of our reality consistently, constantly. Notice the example they use for that definition. It says the coronavirus that causes COVID-19 may never disappear, but could become endemic like HIV. Could become endemic like HIV. Or is it the psychological warfare that's become endemic? The psyops have become endemic because all these diseases, so-called, start out as the worst disease to ever hit the planet, we are told. And then they die off, they die down, and then they tell us, well, they become endemic. I mean, I remember living in the time of HIV when it was the monster disease that was going to kill us all. And then it just brought up, people bring it up, but you don't really hear too much about it like that. And that's what we can say about all these diseases, every single one on this list and the ones we have not listed. It's the same blueprint because the devil doesn't have to do anything different. He doesn't have to change his blueprint. Because it works time and time again. People are that simple. With this being the case, what then becomes the way on how this society is going to now deal with the never-ending pandemic and these endemics? Because that's what we have to focus in on now. Okay, what are they now? How are they shifting and shaping this world now to now more so form around these said problems? Because now the world is shaping and changing, and they're now structuring the world around these problems. They say we're going to live our lives as these are at the center, not as, well, those things are going on. They're on the outside, and we're going to continue to live our lives the way we're living them. No, we're going to change. We're going to stop everything we're doing. We're going to shift, change, and adapt our lives with these, you know, these particular attacks, problems at the center of our focus, right? And within endemic, we talked about the white paper, long-term COVID-19, or what they're calling now long COVID. Like if you get sick today and then get sick 4 months from now, they'll say, well, you had COVID-19 today, and then you had COVID-19 then, and you have long COVID, meaning you just keep catching it over and over. You really don't get rid of it. You have it, but it never goes away. The symptoms just flare up every now and then. So you have long COVID now. When it's just, you just caught a cold, catch a cold, catch a flu from season to season. And on top of all the poison that they're spraying in the air and putting in our food and our water, that can make you sick and break your immune system down. But we have here on Natural News a study. There's no such thing as long COVID. This is June 1st, 2022. There is no such thing as long COVID. The National Institutes of Health, NIH, has released a new study that debunks the existence of so-called long COVID. The reality is that people who claim to be suffering from long COVID are more than likely imagining it. Let me say that again. The reality is that people who claim to be suffering from long COVID are more than likely imagining it. So if you're imagining, if you're living in an imaginary world, then that world becomes really, it can become very real, especially when it comes to disease. It's called the placebo effect, where they give people sugar pills or saline shots and tell you this is the medicine, and they give it to them. And then as soon as the person takes it, they say, I feel 100% better. When they didn't give you anything, it's all psychological. You see that? That's why the devil doesn't have to roll out a real disease. Okay? Ignorance is a disease. Illiteracy is a disease. Lack of common sense is a disease. Just play on those diseases and put out an imagination, an illusion, and have people scared, and people will worry themselves into sickness and disease and imagining, I caught that COVID. This is what the NIH revealed. It's all in your imagination, okay? It's like the Wizard of Oz. He's a figment of your imagination. He's nothing but a man behind the curtain. All that sorcery and stuff, he's, you know, sparks and fireworks and holograms and all this stuff all over the place, it's not real. The most likely thing they have is simple anxiety. Anxiety is a demon, and it will make you sick. All right? Induced by fear and paranoia about the Wuhan coronavirus. And it's funny that the NIH put this out. This is the same institute that Fauci worked for. So in the same instance that they tell you these things, they also release papers to say that that's not the case too, to see who's really paying attention, so that they can come back later or at any point in time, they're absolved and say, well, we told you, in our white paper or in our study. You didn't read that? Oh, no, you watch TV where we use all type of manipulative words and talking points. We were speaking cryptically, but you thought we were saying, no, we weren't saying that. Not only that, but you also have on Natural News, long COVID is Fauci's code phrase for long-term vaccine damage. So a lot of these people that are talking about long COVID are people that have been vaccinated, and it's really the vaccine damage, and it's your immune system is totally compromised. And so you can't fight off any type of infection, and you're always sick. 21. According to Anthony Fauci, who flip-flops COVID safety advice nearly daily, a new syndrome has arrived called long COVID. And it's a whole series of long-term health conditions caused by the COVID vaccines, but blamed on the virus. These conditions, including fatigue, shortness of breath, and loss of senses, including smell, taste, sight, and hearing. Long-term means it may never subside or go away, by the way. This is all according to new studies that have emerged, but are getting buried by mainstream media. Long COVID is the cover story now for debilitating COVID vaccine side effects and adverse events. So we have the vaccine damage. We have the psychological imagination of believing in all this fantasy, these Jewish fables that they've sold the world. Amalek has sold the world all these Jewish fables. And if you believe it, you can believe it into existence. Especially when we talk about sickness, okay? Because the mind, if you control the mind, the body will follow. If you make the mind think it, the body is sick, the body will be sick. Now, with all this going on, we're going to talk about what this opens the door for them now to have the power to do, because people have bought into the lie. And they told us this is the beginning, the first full day of the New World Order. What are some of the things that in this New World Order you can explain? One thing, the WHO, how they're going to fight future pandemics. This is May 23rd. This was just a few days ago. They are now, because everyone's bought into what happened in 2020, they now are going to start laying out for future pandemics all the rules. The rules of engagement, the mandates, the declarations, all the things you're going to have to do under a world health emergency as the one global power for the whole world, to police the whole world. Negotiations on new rules for dealing with pandemics are underway at the World Health Organization. A target date of May 2024 for a legally binding agreement to be adopted by the UN health agency's 194 member countries. So what they're looking to do is make a treaty with all these countries to where everyone has to follow their rules and make it binding. Doesn't matter what your government constitution or government rules or law state, it will bypass those under a pandemic. The WHO already has binding rules known as international health regulations, which in 2005 set out countries' obligations where public health events have the potential to cross borders. These include advising the WHO immediately of a health emergency and measures on trade and travel. And they adopted this after the 2002-2003 SARS outbreak. So again, problem, reaction, solution. Because of SARS, it then empowered them to put this international health regulation in place in 2005. So that's what this is then now lining them up to do, empower and embolden themselves without any pushback because of what they're telling us happened in 2020 and is going to happen in the future, guaranteed. This is on the WHO website, their website. Countries begin negotiations on global agreement to protect world from future pandemic emergencies. They're using the zero draft as a basis for negotiating an agreement to protect nations and communities from future pandemic emergencies. All right. So they're looking to have this draft in place by 2024. Just in time, catastrophic contagion, 2025 is the year they're saying at least that pandemic is supposed to happen. If doesn't want to happen before then, but if they get this in place, it'll be just in time for what they, what they're telling us is planned for 2025. And they're discussing more than 300 amendments to the international health regulations that they put in 2005 because of SARS. Looking to make 300 amendments to that. This is what the beginning of the first full day of the New World Order looks like, family. Okay, where everybody's freaking out on all this stuff or distracted on some nonsense. This is what's really going on. This is what it's really all about. And so you had a senator. He put forth a World Health Organization pandemic treaty implementation resolution here in the United States. Senator James Reich introduced this in February of this year. It says here, this resolution prohibits any international agreement that is drafted by the WHO and relates to pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response from legally binding the U.S. unless the Senate ratifies the agreement as a treaty. The bill also outlines requirements for negotiating and ratifying such an agreement. So this senator put this bill, introduced it to where the WHO can't come in and into the United States and dictate an international agreement in relation to a pandemic unless the Senate ratifies the agreement as a treaty. Now that's the key part, because they could always vote to ratify the agreement. Okay, but at least you see, you know, this move being made because of understanding how critical the WHO having this type of power, what that would mean, not just for the United States, but for the whole world. They would basically be able to police and control the whole world under a pandemic, meaning mandatory vaccines or any other medical procedure, drugs or whatever, technological devices being implanted, inserted, whatever they deem necessary, you have to do it, given this power.